This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. I started this morning with a big sneeze. Nice.
Yeah, very nice, Gareth. I started off by breaking my headphones.
Oh, well done. Don't you want to go and grab another pair of them?
No, I'm actually quite comfy. I know it looks stupid, but I'm quite comfy.
Ridiculous.
See, the problem is because it's the circumference of my head is what it is.
Oh, yes, there are no headphones big enough for you.
No, like there are some. Just this particular one was always stressing a bit. It was a bit like a tugboat with two tankers. Eventually, it's going to, you know.
Can I, while we're on headphones, it's very rare that we get to have headphone talk.
Oh,
do you
yes.
want to have some headphone talk?
Okay.
I use the same pair of headphones. I've used the same pair of headphones all through my radio career, and they're the only ones I like. They're the only ones that make me feel like I'm doing a real radio show. Otherwise, I'm just very out of sorts, and I can't think. And it's weird. You know, you get your little Nunu blankets
mm-hmm.
that make you better or worse at what you do. Some people have a special pen they like to do things with. Some people like to sit at their particular desk. And I know, you know, hot desks and all that stuff are all the rage at the moment. And people sit wherever there's a space, really. But my headphones are a very serious thing. I mean, first of all, I don't want to share them with anybody.
Well, you shouldn't.
And like the herpes-ridden ones? Yeah?
Well, yeah, I mean, just yesterday we found out Mel B had herpes of the eye.
Herpes of the eye.
Yes.
It's a real thing, Ben.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What have her eyes been doing?
Well, who knows where they've been.
But I got a message.
But nearly left her blind.
Yeah, nearly left her blind. I got a message from someone who was listening to that whole discussion and said they've had herpes of the eye. Uh-huh.
So that's what the great thing about podcasting is. Even with herpes of the eye, you can still enjoy us.
I know.
Wait, is this more common than we think it is?
Eye herpes. Well, the Google... Sorry.
Well, this person...
My search history is already too far gone.
I was listening to your show this morning regarding the story about Mel B having herpes in the eye.
Ooh.
I can tell you, it's a lot more common than people realize. I've also had it in my eye. And I had the same reaction as you guys. I was baffled. Because at the time, I was a young teenager and nowhere near having sex. But apparently, just like cold sores on your lip, you can get it in the sun. I spend a lot of time on the water and the sun. Apparently, it can happen when your immune system is low, like you're recovering from a cold or something. Anyway, it's horrible, as you can imagine. Not very comfortable, and I had to wear an eye patch. Mm. I was lucky because where the cold sore had formed was just left of the cornea. Had it formed over it, I would have lost sight in that eye.
So are you saying that every villain in history with an eye patch had herpes of the eye?
Maybe.
No.
Probably. Maybe.
Yeah.
So since this ordeal, I always wear good quality sunglasses when I'm outside to protect my eyes. I hope this helps. Give some information on the subject. Keep up the good show. And that's from Dale. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, Dale's spot on. You should always wear good quality sunglasses.
For sure.
I think every adult, I mean, everyone goes through stages where they buy gimmicky things on holidays. But no, you should wear good quality.
Yeah, it's like a watch. Rather, if you're going to wear a shit watch or a shit pair of sunglasses, then just rather don't wear them at all.
The thing about watches, the sun's not going to go through a watch and damage your skin.
Yeah, but I'm just saying there's some things that it's worth spending money on. Otherwise, just don't get them at all.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm learning not to judge.
Herpes of the eye.
Everyone has a story.
So my headphones, I don't let anyone else use them. And I use a particular maker headphones, and I have like three backups. Last week, I decided to just do a quick stock take of all mine. So two of them, the left-hand side's not working properly.
Ugh.
Which is so goddamn annoying.
That's a wiring thing though, right?
Yeah, I know. And then you have to call the manufacturers up. And look, they're usually very good about it. And they come in and they fix it. And there's a small fee for repairing it. But this is an important tool for my trade. This would be like, you know, for an architect to not have a drawing board.
Exactly.
Or for...
A plumber not to have a wrench.
Right, a plumber doesn't have a wrench. It's a useless plumber. Or he has a shit wrench.
Mm.
Well, he technically does have a shit wrench.
Give him an hour, it'll be a shit wrench, yeah.
I got to say also, we've had some wonderful months of real incident-free bathroom usage. I got to be just very honest about this.
Well,
it's ever since the number of people in the building went down, to just the staff. We've got rid of a lot of the people who were shitting and pissing.
Gareth, I mean, there were a couple of things. Upstairs, those people that Vuv people. Ah. I think they were the most malicious shit.
Does that channel still exist?
No.
I don't know. I know the app exists. I don't know about the TV channel. Shame. No, well, don't be.
Either way, they really damaged our porcelain for about how many months?
Is that their real legacy?
That'll be the legacy. If they've got a Wikipedia page, can we go on there and say, damaged Cliff Central's toilets? Well,
I just have to illustrate that is some story. Because that Vuv, they had all the NusPass money behind them, right? They had enormous NusPass 10 cent money behind them. Huge amounts of money. They employed like, what, 20 people? Here we were.
Well,
5
like
years ago.
Almost.
We started with like 5 people.
And they were doing like woke stuff and they were being lit and turning up.
No. They had
a big fam.
They had a big fam turning
Stop
up, lit,
guys.
All that shit. Yeah,
Stop.
Ben's right. And they failed spectacularly. And remember, they didn't have to pay for their channel and DSTV because that's part of the company. Now, if they failed, let me just explain how hard it is to make it work in media. If a company like that failed, they got their TV channel for zero. Right? All they had to do, by the way, they were advertising it on all the other channels. So free advertising. Second thing they had was all this money backing them up. So they could employ anyone they wanted to. And they had some smart people there. They were not, these were not stupid people. I met some of them. Right? And it failed. It's gone away. I don't even know if it exists anymore. None of us do.
Well, the last time they tweeted was on the 19th of Jan this year.
Okay, so they're gone. Because if you haven't tweeted since January and you're supposedly a going concern, and obviously they've moved. If they're certainly not upstairs anymore.
Mm-mm.
But they're gone. Well, now, this just proves... All right, so anybody who says, oh, it's easy to get into the media business. Anyone can do video. Anyone can do podcasting. Anyone can do audio. Anyone can do radio. You can't. And you can do a podcast from your garage, but nobody's going to care. I'm going to say to a bunch of people who keep coming up to me and telling me that they're also a broadcaster or they're also a podcast, don't insult me. I mean, you're not. What do? You're talking to 20 of your friends in like a voice note on WhatsApp. That's what you're doing.
Look, by definition, you are. It's just like I am a golfer. I am a artist. I'm not. As soon as you make money out of it, then you are professional.
Yeah, well, okay.
So by definition, sure, go ahead, knock yourself out. But
right.
People only care about the
don't
pros.
Don't shake your head too much, Ben.
I can't, I know.
Yeah.
People only care about the pros, right? If you have lots of sex on camera, you're a hoe. If you do it for money, then you're a porn star. There's a difference.
Correct. Well, good point.
But Stevie Wonder could have seen that certain things weren't going to work out.
Stevie Wonder could have seen that. All right.
The entire TV premise was to showcase people. But anyway.
And Sia's a youth.
No, Sia never really bought into that, to his credit. Okay, so good morning, guys. Ben, Netflix has the ability to convert you like anything. Remember you hated F1? Well, do you hate bull riding?
Never had feelings towards bull riding.
Wow. The docuseries Fearless will change your mind and have you reporting on bull riding in your sport. The people who do this literally could die every time they get on a bull. Please watch it.
Yeah, look, I've seen stuff around there. It is crazy, and life expectancy isn't high, and a lot of them do end up eating out of like straws. It's rough as all hell.
Speaking of which, I mean, do you have any words for Niki Lauda, who died yesterday? We tried to give him a tribute of a kind, and Leanne was more or less successful in that respect.
I've got him in today's sport. Today's sport's long. Can we just start now? It's going to take 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Lots of things we want to do today. We also are sitting here in anticipation of Gord, who obviously is late. Because
you know what someone said to me on Instagram this week?
Yeah.
I'm the new Gord.
In what way?
Well, you see, we had...
Okay, look, I wasn't here on Monday.
We had an intern in here yesterday, and he said, oh, well, what I've learned this week is that Ben never arrives. Which is not fair, because you don't come in on Tuesdays.
Who the bloody hell is this intern?
Shut up and just wait. So you don't come in on Tuesdays anyway, so he doesn't know that. He's
but
new
he's
to the
just
whole
heard thing. About you.
He's heard about Ben, so at least you're still alive on the show when you're not here.
Let me tell you, these interns that come in here.
You weren't here on Monday, and he thought, oh, well, this guy's just a slacker. Well, he hasn't met Gord yet. Gord is supposedly says, I'm stuck in traffic.
Traffic at this hour, but...
Okay. And where's this intern today?
He's coming in. No, he starts at 7.
Ben, why are you instantly wanting to be critical?
No, people
fight,
get
fight. He wants to just fight.
People, get, just on the, people get on their high donkeys in life and then they can just throw
no,
shit.
No, he isn't. He's right. actually making notes let's, of what he's observed.
Let's get back to what people who've woken up early this morning.
In terms of coming there, pretty fucking ropey.
People who've woken up early this morning to get their day started with us. We don't want to have them hear us bickering like children. We do have quite a lot to get through. We've got to finally do a deconstruction of Game of Thrones with Ben and Gord, who are both big fans. I know Sia wasn't always the biggest fan. And we've also got to see with the death pool who came out best. You know, who got the most people in the death pool right? That's on our website, so we can look it up.
No one has any excuses by now to not have watched it.
No. We're doing spoilers today. I don't
care. We all reached a consensus yesterday.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah, you've got to grow up and get over this.
I mean, Gareth and I, we talk about this. If you're a real fan and you haven't watched it by now, then you're not a real fan.
No, sure. And really, no one's that busy. I mean, we had the CEO of Discovery Insure in here on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We're launching that series today, by the way. You can go and listen to the first episode this morning. But he came in. He's the CEO of Discovery Insure. He's no schlub. The guy made time to watch Game of Thrones. Now, if he can make time, you can make time. Whoever you are.
Exactly.
Don't tell me you're so busy. You know what I love? Like people who really don't have a lot going on in their lives and keep telling you they're busy. There are a lot of those people. Have you met them?
They're the ones who aren't busy.
I don't
busy.
Buy into that anymore. Ever since I learned that it's not that people don't have time, it's that people don't make time.
Right.
So
they don't want to make time for you, yeah.
Someone is really telling you where you are or where the task is in their list of priorities.
Correct.
When they say, oh no, I don't have time.
Yeah.
Clearly you aren't important.
That's it.
That's a life.
Well, you're not as important. I mean, I don't go too.
Okay, not as important. Sure.
I mean, I have people that I like, I don't have time for. Just there's other things on the go.
Yeah, sure.
Like you. If you were to say to me, Ben, let's do this, I'd say, see ya, not for the next 5 weeks.
How?
It's got nothing to do with my feelings towards you. It's just that
it does
more pressing things.
All right, let me tell you about this series we're launching today while we get stuck into this morning. According to research, 20% of businesses will fail in the first year.
Wow.
1/5 of all the businesses that are started will fail in the first year. By year 5, up to 50% will not survive.
Whoa.
So if you can get to where we got to like 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, you're one of like one of every two of the businesses that actually make it.
You're doing the hallelujah happy dance.
So how do you turn your business into an empire? Our new podcast series by Discovery Business Insurance presents inspiring insights to help empower entrepreneurs to start a business, grow and achieve success. It's called The Healthy Business Show, and it features well-known business luminaries from a range of areas that are vital to an entrepreneur's business health. Your Healthy Business Show host is Fred Rode. You know who Fred is, right? He's the CEO of Heavy Chef, an entrepreneur education platform which has featured technologists, pioneers, creatives from all the business and leadership world. We've had Fred on the show before, haven't we? And we worked with Fred. He was one of the people who helped us design our app in the beginning. Really clever guy. Really, really. Just like, he looks like a mad Viking. I mean, he is Scandinavian by origin. But you want to hear this because Heavy Chef has been a terrific place for people to share their entrepreneurial stories. So what Fred's done is he's managed to gather a really interesting and diverse group of people from the small and medium enterprise arena. And he's spoken to them about their experiences and asked them for practical advice. So we're not just talking about, oh, this is a nice story and this is my journey. And these people are telling you, like, these are the things you got to focus on. And cash flow is important, and who you hire and how you hire and what lessons they've learned that they thought were most valuable, what they learned from other people. So you do want to hear this. If you've started a business or you're thinking of starting a business, this is like a university course for you, really. And you could pass this on to your friends as well. If you know anyone who's in the small business environment, ask them for their opinion too. We'd like to hear it as well. So the first episode available now, right now. You can download it on the Cliff Central website. You can go and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Oh, Google Podcasts might not work if you're on Huawei. You know, they're fighting with each other.
We've had a trade war, a tariff war.
Well, the rumor always is that if you're on a Huawei, then they just want to access your information and there's no privacy and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Oh, this whole thing is just beefing up by the day. But I have to commend this journalist from The Citizen who wrote this headline. The photo has been going and being shared a lot on social media. It was Google's way or the
Huawei.
Nice.
That's very clever.
Look, it's corny as all hell, but hey, it was fun.
There was a really interesting clip. I think I sent it to you, Ben, about being alone.
So good. It's like 4 minutes, though.
Yeah,
it's so right. It's
I'm
like,
going to start it off for you, and what we'll do is I'll give the team here the web address, and you can go and listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, we'll put it onto part one's podcast.
Correct. So just have a listen to this, and then we'll put it in the notes afterwards, and you can go and watch the whole clip, but listen to this. So I thought this was interesting.
Because our culture places such a high value on sociability, it can be deeply awkward to have to explain how much, at certain points, we just need to be alone. We may try to pass off our desire as something work-related. People generally understand a need to finish off a project. But in truth, it's a far less respectable and far more profound desire that may be driving us on. Unless we're alone, we feel at risk of forgetting who we are.
And it carries on. It's like 4 minutes long, but we'll put that on the website for you to listen to. Because there are a lot of people, I'm increasingly meeting people who value their time on their own. So for the last 3 nights, I've kind of been at home and I've just been doing work and stuff, but I find it very energizing. And don't get me wrong, I like being sociable and I've got lots of friends and I like being around my family and all that kind of thing. But it's a good thing to be able to sit on your own, figure out things, think, have your own space, even talk to yourself a little bit. I mean, there's a fine line between being a complete lunatic and yammering on to yourself the whole time. But there's also that very sensible place where you are kind of talking yourself through stuff that you need to figure out in your life. Maybe there are new challenges that are coming up. Maybe there are new and interesting opportunities that you're exploring. People you need to interact with. You know, drawing up lists of stuff you need to get done. There's so much going on.
But I think something that's very important here about humans is a sheer question of capacity. If you look at socialites, right, mostly vacuous people. They are they talk all the time. They have to be out all the time. It's all just quantity over quality.
All right.
So this clip talks about how it's important to be by yourself because then when you do actually engage with people, you give them your undivided attention and you have a quality conversation because you can actually focus on them. If you're only surrounded by people and faces, you're constantly thinking about who you should be talking to. And you have all these cuck superficial yibba yabbers.
What?
Yibba yabbers?
Yeah, exactly.
Yibba yabbers, huh?
So that's what I took out of that video. And it made a lot of sense because I don't like hanging around people. But when I do, like you guys, we have good conversations. It's nice.
Well, isn't that a relief, sir?
Ben, is it always a bit of a gamble when you're hanging around people like, ugh,
completely.
Here we go.
And I don't bet that much anymore.
Oh, jeez, Ben.
Simple as that.
I can't imagine your life. I really can't.
But it makes sense to me, Sia. That's the thing. When you're older, you have the ability to make sense of things.
All right, I want to get into the five things. Ben says he's got a lot of sport this morning.
So much.
Let's start off with Mbete and Gigaba, who've been left off the parliamentary list for the ANC. Only right, if you ask me.
Just them, not the other ones.
Well, it's a start. The ANC said on Tuesday it had accepted notices of withdrawal from the parliamentary list for former Speaker of the National Assembly, Balega Mbete, and former Minister Malusi Gigaba. The ANC has undertaken all the necessary formalities in relation to the replenishment of the party list. They also said that they were going to keep an eye on who else was available and who wasn't. And it's quite interesting. Like in November last year, of course, you'll remember Gigaba resigned as a minister following a series of scandals, including a leaking of a compromising sex video. So now at least we know what it takes to get you off the ANC's list. We know what it takes. It takes a sex video, Gupta money having come to you, and your defense of Jacob Zuma. Those three things make you untouchable in the ANC. Untouchable in a bad way, right? As in no one wants to touch you. So let's just remember those are the three things that are necessary. And with Balega Mbete, she supported Zuma. She didn't have a sex tape. But she's obviously backed the wrong horse and now she's out on her ear.
Do you think this was a personal decision for Gigaba and Balega, or do you think they were either pushed or feeling pressure?
Who knows?
I wonder how much they got paid
to withdraw.
Everything is transactional with the ANC, right? The thing's for the good of something or the right high road. They're probably given a little handout saying, all right, take this and piss off.
Maybe. Maybe that's what's happened. Maybe Ben's seen through the whole thing. All right. In other news, this is quite an interesting story because we've been following the author of this book, and he's been a guest on the show, gangster state author. That's Peter Louis Myburgh, who has dared Ace Magashule, the subject of his book. He's dared him to sue him. Says the optimist in him hopes to see the former Free State Premier in an orange uniform in prison.
How's it's on that? Now.
Oh, yeah. So he said he's been addressing an audience of people at the at this bookshop in Durban on Tuesday. He said that he's considering the amount of time that Magashule had to roll out his alleged looting network in the Free State, and considering the length of his political career, which was problematic from the get-go, it was apt to unpack it in book format. Hmm. Unlike in Gauteng, where the launch was disrupted, remember last month, and in the Free State, where the book's launch at the University of the Free State was cancelled, the Durban launch proceeded without a glitch. Why? Because Magashule doesn't have any supporters in Durban, that's why.
Also, his budget for rebel-rousing stopped.
Yeah, he ran out before the elections. With Magashule recently saying that he would prove in court that Myburgh was a liar, the author said he's unfazed. He's actually inviting him to please sue him for defamation. Remember, once these things go to court, everything is open for investigation. And evidence has to be brought by both sides. And remember, it would be, if Magashule is suing him for defamation, he has to prove, A, that it is not true, which he's going to have a tough time doing. He has to prove he is not a gangster. It's not like Peter Louis Myburgh has to prove he is. And B, he has to prove it is not in the public interest, which is obviously impossible because you're ANC Secretary General.
So
those are two things you have to do. Some dude climbed the Eiffel Tower, apparently, and he's believed to be Russian. They evacuated.
How fast did he go?
Oh, hello, Gord.
How fast did he go?
Get up there. You got to be Russian.
So,
Kapinski appreciates me. Thanks,
the guy caused chaos on Monday at the closure of the monument.
Should have just gone at a reasonable pace.
Look, can you, let's get through the news. You can't come in here and interrupt the goddamn news, all right?
I am the news, Gareth. News is you are back.
His identity has not been disclosed. He was questioned by police on Tuesday. He is now admitted to the psychiatric hospital. So they think he might be a lunatic.
You don't have to be a lunatic to climb the Eiffel Tower. You just got to be like trying to do something stunty.
And quite
or maybe like athletic. Yeah, maybe like a drunk student or something.
All right. Donald Trump is going to visit Ireland on his visit to Europe. He's going to stop in Ireland. Of course, the Irish PM visited him just the other day. He and Melania have accepted the invitation of the Prime Minister of Ireland, Leo Varadkar, to visit while they're in Europe. That's his name. Remember, he's the gay prime minister. And they made a big thing because he and his
The Pride Minister.
He and his husband were walking around the White House holding hands and stuff. And everybody said, but isn't Trump meant to be a homophobe? And isn't Mike Pence meant to be having his head explode because there's a gay guy in the White House? And no, they were quite civil and friendly with each other. In fact, so much that Donald said, I'd like to come and visit you in your house, even if it's not a White House.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. That's going ahead. And then finally, the only other thing you need to know this morning that is of a important news nature is that there's a Kenyan court, while we're talking about gay things, the Prime Minister of Ireland and so on, that are going to rule on decriminalizing homosexuality. So thank God someone in Kenya has seen the light. The High Court on Friday is expected to deliver a long-awaited ruling on whether to scrap colonial-era laws criminalizing homosexuality, a verdict that would have repercussions across Africa. Remember, East Africa is not the friendliest place for gay people. Uganda has had horrendous laws that have basically made it impossible for anyone to be openly.
Don't they kill people there?
Yeah,
they do.
Now, you are told to not be gay if you're a tourist.
And if you are gay, then bad things happen to you. There are subtle and not so subtle ways that you are punished for what you are and who you are. So the LGBT community are a little bit worried. They think there might be another postponement. In February, the three-judge bench pushed back its decision, citing a heavy workload, prompting dismay from a persecuted community who fought for years to be accepted. I just want to say at this point, it's not just the LGBT community. There are loads of people who are not in the LGBT community who are supportive of this.
Very good point.
And I'm tired of hearing that it's...
We own this.
Like, this is only the fight from the LGBT community. There are loads of us all over the world who are massively in support of gay rights and who want gay marriage to be legalized and all of this stuff.
It makes sense for them to kind of like say, you know, obviously the LGBTQ+OXMQ+ community are like at the forefront of this because obviously it's an issue that directly affects them, they, us, we, them. But, you know, it's like, it's your point, I completely agree. It's like the LGBT+QQ+ community and most reasonable, rational thinking human beings think this is bullshit.
Yeah, it's a tiny minority of people in a tiny minority of countries.
It's like if you get a bunch of coal workers trapped underground and they're like, the coal workers of the world are massively concerned and like mobilizing efforts to try and get the other coal workers out.
Precisely, that's what I'm getting at, is that everyone in the world is, with the exception of a few, you know, really closed-minded and myopic people who perhaps are just severe traditionalists and massive conservatives and maybe they're religious nuts as well. Aside from those people, the majority of us are like, you know what? Let people live the way they want to live. I mean, I really think this argument's got to a point now where it's fairly universal.
Yeah.
You're on the periphery if you're against gay rights. You can't possibly
are
be
you
in
though?
The mainstream.
Well, are you on the periphery?
Let's look at it. There's really the big centers of homophobia in the world are not countries. They're more religious groupings.
I was about to say, let me guess, they're religious-based, aren't they?
Yeah, I'd say so. And look, I don't think that Christianity is massively anti-gay anymore because most Christianity is so flip-floppy about this stuff. They're actually live and let live, you know? Christianity's become soft in every way in terms of their doctrinal pursuits.
Tell Israel Falau that.
I'm going to go to the doctrinal in a couple of minutes.
Well, no, your point is here that I don't think that the Christians are the biggest opposition to gay rights anymore.
No, I take your point. Like, it's
there may be some very hardcore right-wing Catholics who are. There might be some you know, Christian evangelists in Africa who are.
Yeah, no, that's it. I have an acquaintance, a friend who...
Islam, different story. Recently, really not very tolerant of this stuff.
She's young, she's in her 20s, and she recently kind of mentioned to her family that she had like kissed another girl. No, not to say, hey, I'm out of the closet and I'm dating a woman and we're going to shave our hair, get army boots and live together happily ever after raising Rottweilers. She was like, she was like, I basically...
That's a Katy Perry music video I've ever seen.
I basically kissed a girl and I liked it.
Yeah.
And she was, I know this person and she is quite young and like, I think she was as much trying to provoke her moderately conservative, but she refers to her family as being like, enlightened Christian. They're like nice, supportive, cool people. They don't like, you know, it's not like a hate group with cool robes. They're just like Christian. And they almost did it. I don't think it was so much like, let me be myself, let me cast off these shackles and let me come out at last. It was more like, let me see how badly this pisses them off.
All right. So,
and they provoking. Did, though. Okay. They're like, these were normal, regular old Christians who just like aren't.
And what did
like,
they think?
They're not fundamental lunatics. No, there was a man and a woman is nature. Fucking wrong. No, it's not. Gay things in nature, left and right. You know, like it's the Lord's will and a man must marry a woman and is living in sin.
Oh, so they gave her a whole lecture.
Yeah, they did exactly
but
what
they
I think
haven't chased her out of
the, I think
they didn't chase her out
exactly
of the house and throw stones
no,
at her.
But the point is that they are like your everyday chilled run of the mill. Okay. They're not your like
maybe I'm wrong there.
Hardcore like they're pretty moderate Christians, but they're Christians. And they also gave her a talking to and were worried about her soul. So who knows?
All right.
We'd have to actually get in a sample of Christians and like... this, I don't mean like the regular old people. I'm sure there's loads of them in the listeners who are just Christians. I've got wonderful friends who are Christians whose philosophy are informed by Christianity and who are lovely, nice people. And if I wanted like... If I've been in some sort of ethical crisis, and they'd be great people to ask, like, what's the right thing to do? So, but I mean, find like a bunch of like hardcore Christians and then sort of medium hardcore. Any Christian question above a
sounds
five.
Like you're describing eggs.
No,
yeah. Hard boiled. No,
yeah,
soft.
Exactly. Well, a few scrambled Christians, yeah. A few hard boiled Christians.
Because yeah, you get
the cracked ones. Yeah. You get the you get like the ones with a bit of other shit mixed in, the omelet Christians.
Yeah.
So we'll get in like a variety and just get consensus on.
Well, I don't think we're going to find that. For, we don't have a big enough studio to accommodate all the different kinds.
I'd be interested to know. Like, so do you? Is the earth flat? And we move through that all the way through to, like, should gay people be allowed to gay?
All right. We're going to get to a bunch of other things. We've got to talk Game of Thrones later on, Gord. I'm just filling you in because you're the latest addition to the show this morning.
I have seen the thing, the message, good. That everyone needed to be up to date, and it was spoiler time. I still, though... While I will happily participate, I still think you need a week. I still think a thing that...
Gord, have you watched it, yes or no?
Yes.
If you're a big enough fan, what else in your life is that important?
But what if you're a moderate fan that still doesn't want to be spoiled?
I'm not saying we never talk about it.
Here's what we'll do. Before we talk about it this morning, I'll just say, spoiler alert, if you're going to listen to the next 5 to 10 minutes of the show, you're going to get your Game of Thrones
ready. Fair enough, but my argument is 1 week.
Adults can switch it off. And
Star Wars movie, Endgame, right. Game of Thrones.
But your argument's stupid, Gord. It's just stupid. If you like Game of Thrones, listen, why would you wait a week?
I've got to get to Ben's sport.
Some people can't.
Let's move.
Let's get the bad man.
Bitcoin is at $7,943 and Ethereum at $257. Ethereum holding quite steady. Bitcoin bouncing around up and down around the 8,000 mark. Let's get to Ben. Let's see what he's got for us in the sport. Ben, over to you.
Well, Gareth, sexism has rocked Spanish woman's squash.
What?
Carlos Semenya's next step in athletics. And Tyson Fury versus Wilder, the rematch. It will happen.
Nothing funny about sexism, but yes, I didn't expect that one.
Well, let's start with our head story here, basically. There was three women, obviously, first, second, third, at a Spanish squash competition. What did they win, Gareth?
I don't know.
The winner won a vibrator.
No.
Second place won a heel scourer, essentially, to exfoliate heels. And third prize... Want some Veet wax strips.
First prize
was the Durex Play Pure Fantasy.
Who sponsored the prizes? Charlie Sheen?
But also, how do you rank that? Like, surely like a really nice vibrator is better than a Veet pack?
Well, that's why they got first place. Vibrate. Top spot gets that.
Oh.
Yeah. Absolute outrage. You that bloody hell could put this together. So the woman said, well, actually, screw it. And they decided they would send their prizes back to the Federation and say, we've had enough. We're sports people like anyone else. We deserve actual prizes. And the administrators, well, they resigned in shock horror. They actually said, you know what? You're right. That's it. I stepped down. This was wrong. And the rest of the Spanish woman's squash community, no doubt, has come out in support of this decision.
The woman got a vibrator and said, screw it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's good to know.
And it was only at that point did they realize that they were wrong.
Yes.
Okay. I wonder, like, if it could be tracked down to a single person's decision if an entire panel of people were like, that sounds reasonable.
Some guy was given, like, €1,000 and they said to him, just go and buy some prizes for these chicks because, you know... We haven't got them anymore.
It's like, well, what do chicks want? Well, obviously they want a vibrator.
And Julio Iglesias went to the shops and he bought these things.
It had to be like
what
a 16-year-old
What does a perfect woman
intern.
Need to have? Well, she needs to be squeaky and not hairy. And is there anything worse than hair? Oh, cracked heels. That's bad too.
Yeah.
And then let's give her something nice for her.
I mean, look, if it was a brand of heel, cracked heels products and they sponsored it, they put money up, and then you also got a heel crack device on the side, you can see it'll be okay.
If it was the Herfoliate sponsored squash tournament,
if it was the titled Herd Skull Heel Tournament, sure,
the Herfoliation Open,
the Herfoliation Close Courts. Yeah, and that sexism has been addressed at every single turn nowadays, just like that. Yeah, just like that. Ever heard of the transplant games?
Holy shit, but I wish I had.
Well, if you've had a transplant, then you can play in the World Transplant Games.
So you can't arrive there with like a tulip in one pot and then move it into another pot.
You can't have your own organs. So Johan Ruiz, okay, he is said to be the oldest participant in the World Transplant Games. He got a heart back in 1999. It's the skewer, which is the best place to get a heart. It really is. Stats prove that. and he'll be going to England. And you can actually fund him, so he needs a bit of money. So you go to backerbuddy.co.za/Johan.
Isn't it enough? Someone's already given him a heart.
Now we need to give him money.
Need to give money to go and participate.
Just but take these transplanters.
They really do. They do. But he'll
give him the gift of life.
He'll be participating in the discus, the javelin, the shot put, the ball throw. I mean, he's doing a lot.
Christ, he's also taking all the events.
When you say the ball throw, does someone else then get to take his ball and attach it to themselves if it's a fit? What else do they throw, man?
He's also doing the petanque, as in he's going to play some bull.
Jeez, this guy's right.
Petanque is a jewel, actually.
I mean, clearly, he can
giving
definitely...
Giving you value for money if you sponsor him.
But that's just it. Yeah, and at the event, 60 countries participate in the transplants games.
Okay, well, I find this incredibly random. I mean, I know having a transplant and needing a transplant are no laughing matter, but once you've had one and your body like has gone through the period where it hasn't rejected it, now you're just a person who had an op once. I mean, maybe I'm being ignorant about this. Maybe having a transplant means
you should go watch the transplant games and it'll change.
But what
your
if
view.
You get the organ of like someone who was fucking good at shot put?
Then
like now, surely you're at an advantage over ordinary old Olympic shot putters.
Well, Johan Riss is going to find this out. Maybe he did have the heart of it because he's only doing a lot
You've
of events.
Got the heart of a shot putter.
The
Johan.
Heart of a shot putter. I mean, he's doing all these different events and he's 80.
Holy
so
shit.
I just think that's...
He should just be, like, at the old, remarkably athletic old people awards.
Yeah, soon we will have an Olympics for those. Don't worry, they're going to break it down.
The senior Olympics.
So, anyways, we spoke about sexuality, acceptance, all that kind of stuff. India's sprinter. They got a sprinter who's kind of in Carter's boat. There was a hyper-androgynous kind of stuff, but she appealed the decision, and she actually won her decision, or won the whole appeal process. So she's still competing as a sprinter. Her name is Duti Chand, and more controversy in her life, of course. Her sister was threatened to blackmail her about being gay. So she was like, ah, screw it. Yes, I'm gay. I've got a girlfriend. I've had a girlfriend for 4 years now. What are you going to do? So she's come out, and she's actually been well supported.
Good.
Of course, she is a hyper-androgynous athlete. Is that the word? So...
I mean, also, do you have any detail as to what does that actually mean? I know, obviously, it means she's got... different hormonal vibes than ordinary people.
She's basically gone on the same path as Caster, but she's in the 100 meters and 200 meters. And the Court of Arbitration of a Sport said, yeah, you can keep at it. So she was in the 2018 Asian Games in Jakarta after the hearing, and she won silver in the 200 and 100 meters. But she's come out as gay, and she's actually really think, well, screw it, I didn't care. Which is nice, because at least she has no fear about these things anymore. And again, going back to our original story about the Spanish squash, I mean, sexism has been obviously taken on, and small things like this make people feel more comfortable.
Yeah, these women better watch out, or they won't get any prizes at all for the being ungrateful.
Oh.
See, and there you go. Point proven. So former racing driver.
I hope some feminist somewhere.
Former racing driver Niki Lauda, of course, passed away on Monday. And did you know how loaded this guy was?
Well, he started two airlines.
Yes, he was like this airline mogul.
Yeah.
So he started airlines, then he sold airlines, then the airlines went bad, then he bought them back, and then sold them.
He's a smart dude.
There's an old joke that says, how do you become a millionaire? It's like, be a billionaire and start an airline.
Yes.
So
he was the exception to that rule, Gord. I have heard that before. I think Richard Branson might have actually made that comment first up. So Niki Lauda will be missed. Of course, he was very active with Team Mercedes, and he was only 70. If you don't know who Niki Lauda is, you must watch the movie Rush. I think it's Rush.
I've been dying to watch that, actually.
It's such
I
a good
have.
Movie.
Chris Hemsworth is like just so bloody handsome.
It's got the most handsome man in the world.
Chris Hemsworth.
And then
it's also got
Niki Lauda. And you understand why he looks the way he did. Now, he always wore a hat that became his sort of signature, and mostly just to kind of cover the hideous scars of being in a car that was on fire.
Oh, man.
Trapped in a car that was in fire. But it showed the tenacity of the Austrian that he managed to get out of that. And of course, he went on to stay true to his passion, which was F1, right to the very end. And no doubt he was also quite bored of the Mercedes domination, but he'll no longer be with us. And life moves on. But yeah, interesting story. And what an absolute loaded, clever, astute businessman he really was. Tyson Fury, all know who he is, right?
Yes. Still has such a fabulous name.
Yes, it's a name for boxing. It really is. And Deontay Wilder. So they had...
They both have excellent names.
Both have excellent boxing. Names for boxing. Yes. Well spotted. Good. And also good boxers. That was the fight of last year.
Yeah.
I know Saul Alvarez fans will probably say that. Anyway, who cares? This was just two heavyweights going toe-to-toe and smacking the snot out of each other. And it ended in a draw. After that, obviously, big money came calling, and they all signed big money TV deals. This is how boxing works, basically. These big networks pick up the boxers, and they can kind of pervert or misguide or lead, or however you want to say it, their careers. So instead of having a big match, okay, so Anthony Joshua, he beat the last Klitschko standing. So he became the big title guy with all the belts. So you got to think, these three guys have got to contest the big fights. No. Wilder beat up some bum this weekend. Tyson Fury's in a fight, some guy.
Did you see how hard he hit him? Have you seen that knockout?
Well, when you stand there like that, you will get hit hard.
Sure, but I mean, you know, if you let like a million people each hit you as hard as they can in the face and you just stand still and let them, one in that million are going to hit you like that.
Exactly.
That is a decapitation. Yeah. That's an execution punch.
And that one in a million is Deontay Wilder. So... It's the big three of boxing. Tyson Fury, obviously, who's just going to like play up all the hype. He said, look, you can't run forever. You've got to take the fight eventually. And they say basically next April or May, this fight will happen. And of course, it is the biggest fight unless Anthony Joshua also stops kind of running scared because he's just been taking the money. He's been fighting some very sort of unspectacular people. So these three have got to come together and 2020 is going to be the year for that. I hope. I don't pray, but I hope. I'm not a big boxing fan, but it's a big deal. A Bolivian referee has died refereeing a game.
Oh, no.
Bolivia, of course, high altitude. There was a match being played at 4,090 meters above the level of the sea. El Alto.
I see what you did there.
But the Bolivian Football Federation is coming out and saying, no, he didn't die because of altitude. He just had a heart attack. These things do happen.
They do happen. In the middle of the game. Sea-level heart attacks have been known.
Sea-level heart attacks have been notorious in years, Gord. Well spotted. So they say this is just one big sort of conspiracy around kind of just tarnishing the good name of Bolivian football. Okay, I added a couple of words there, but still. But is it?
We lost Dave. He had a heart attack.
Can you imagine?
And it was at sea level.
Can you imagine playing a football match, doing anything strenuous, more than double the altitude of Johannesburg?
No. Is that higher than Mexico City?
Yes. This is it. 4,090 meters. It is the highest place where you can kick a ball, essentially, in competitive play.
Yeah. So it's basically like, hey guys, you know how soccer is really hard to play in super high intensity cardio output? Let's go play it where there's no air.
Well, absolutely
there's
no air.
There's no oxygen. The air is thin. Oof. That's the problem. Mm. So these guys battle. I mean, you would battle to lift up your pen if you dropped it off your desk at that altitude.
I'm sure a lot of people know this and take it for granted, but maybe some people don't. Is that like... you know, in all sports, especially like MMA events, those kind of things where there's football, World Cups, whatever, the players have to go and acclimate to the altitude, whether it's low or high, because whatever you're used to, the other thing will screw you up a little bit.
Exactly.
You are at an advantage, though, like Kenyan runners and shit, when you come from high altitude and then you go compete at low altitude. It's just like thicker air, I guess.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And your lungs become stronger and more reliant on less oxygen, or they become able to process less oxygen.
You see it in MMA a lot. You see a lot of guys who are like, I don't know, my training camp, we didn't move it to the correct altitude soon enough. And guys that are normally quite fit just get their asses whipped because they're at the wrong altitude.
Exactly.
But, I mean, you should still be able to play. I mean, a Bolivian football ref should be used to Bolivian football and have gone through the Bolivian football.
Well, maybe he had a transplant.
But that's just it. Well, if you caught it in time, Gareth, fortunately he had a heart attack and then cardiac arrest and then a heart attack and he died. But he was 32 years old, so it's a sad story. But Bolivian football authorities are saying it's not because of altitude. The Proteas believe that in 9 days' time, Gareth, when the World Cup starts, they have a bowling attack that can defend any total. Fighting talk, of course, because if you're going to defend 450 runs...
I wondered why I saw a big billboard with Protea Fire on it and thought, what the fuck's that all about?
9 days to go, Gareth, right. Cricket World Cup. So yeah, if you're going to defend 450 runs, great. Who's going to score 450, though? That's the big question. Cricket, of course, is a game of balance like any other sport. But this Proteas team kind of looks exciting. Obviously, all the interest is in England. I mean, they just picked Jofra Archer to play in their team. They got really nice kit, and they've obviously been hammering Pakistan, but have they kind of shot their ball too early? Never a good thing in sport or life. So I think the Proteas are going in just right, under the radar. Everyone's tired of calling them chokers even. No one's giving them a chance. India and England, mostly England, are the favourites. So 9 days' time, bloody exciting. And we'll talk about that every single day, of course, and twice on Wednesday. Australia to open a faith crisis discussion around what's right and what's wrong when expressing your religious views in sport. It has come to this.
Faith crisis.
It should
discussion.
Be a who utterly cares from even Bolivian altitude drops a shit that falls into the ocean. Who absolutely cares? How is my supporting Manchester United relevant when I vote in the elections? Basically piss off.
Here's how bad that idea is. I don't even care if a candidate has personal religious views. A candidate who's looking for my vote. It's none of my business, and whatever you do is entirely up to you. What I do is up to me. You have your personal beliefs, and I know what this is coming from. It's from that Israel Folau thing, right?
Yes. I am no big Christianity fan, but leave Folau the fuck alone. I can let him be Christian if he wants to.
And if you need him in your rugby team or your soccer team or your cricket team or your tennis team or whatever the fuck it is, what do you care
about
who is imaginary?
He said some shit that the Bible's not... He thinks God doesn't like gay people, but he's not trying to stop gay people from being in the team with him.
Stop trying to make it look like it's his fault.
Is he?
No. This is God who said this, all right, supposedly. And I can't understand how people who call themselves religious refuse to read what's written in their own religious texts. You can spin it any way you like. God is pretty
ambiguous and contradictory. And he doesn't remember what he said last time he went on record. He's a bit like a shit politician.
It's there, though, for you to read in black and white more than once in the Bible. And if you don't like that, then leave the religion. Don't attack people who are still sticking to the word of it. I mean, really?
Yeah, as long as he's not trying to stop other people from participating in the sport. He didn't say, I think gay people shouldn't be allowed to be fans of rugby and I'm going to work towards not letting them play rugby. Let the oak do what he wants when he's not playing rugby.
We have to have faith in natural order in this world, okay? So now they don't want Israel. Well, there's no U. I mean,
I'm with Ben. My whole life I've refused to pronounce. If it's a Q without a U, it's a hard K. Or in certain dialects, my name's Pete. I spell it D-A-V-E. Because your name's Dave, asshole. They can't call it Qantas without a U. It's Qantas.
You've done your research here, Gord.
So now, if Qantas wants to sponsor the Wallabies, but they don't want homophobic Israel Folau, and they'll say, look, guys, great. Pick him. He's a great rugby player, all that kind of stuff. But we haven't invested all this money for you to have a guy like that in a jersey with our name. So then Australia is like, whoa, okay, we can't pick Israel Folau. Don't try to have a faith review system, blah, blah, blah.
But why can't they do a thing like when Hashi first started playing for the Proteas and the test team was sponsored by Castle Lager and he just didn't wear the badge and they were just okay with that?
Yeah, how about that? So you don't have Qantas.
Don't put Qantas on Folau.
Yeah, and the thing is, it'll be a great PR story for Qantas because they're like, well, as you see, there's no logo on Folau's shirt because he's a Qantas.
We have a problem with him. Yeah, we think he's a Qantas, so we've taken the Qantas. but here's the deal.
Or you just basically have the same logo. You take away Q-A-N-T and just have A-S on his shirt.
Ass.
You just make a space and it's Qantas.
Yeah.
Yeah, then he'll be perfectly happy.
Or give Folau two S's on his logo. Be smarter, be funnier, make something of this. A faith review committee.
I'm not in the for me to be on the side of Folau when I think homophobia is the worst and religion is as good as for most theistic religions as good as flat Earth. You know, I read his blog and he was he's been raised in this devout way and he just believes that gay people are not going to go to heaven because that's what he's been taught. But I was let the dude play rugby. Who cares? It's a similar thing with all this.
We're not choosing him for his brilliant brain.
For his religious beliefs. And he's not on the field to he's not saying, I won't play if gay people are allowed in the stadium. I mean, if that was the case, then it would be A, cool, don't play, and B, then you really are a dick. You're allowed to have your own opinion. How can you stop someone from competing in a sport for having an opinion when that opinion is in no way relevant to the sport?
Fair enough.
Yes. Yeah, we don't allow Metallica fans to play for the Proteas. Okay, well, that makes sense.
And finally, Costas and Minya will be taking part in the 3,000 meter event in America coming up in the next few months. It's, I guess where else is she going to really go? So she's allowed to do 3,000 meters, the courts of arbitration against sports, all that kind of stuff. The IAAF, they don't have an issue with her in this, but she's going to have, it's tough. It is really tough. She just won the 800 meters. The skill set as you go up in every single race is huge. And even though she has run under 4 minutes for 1,500 meters, it's just incredible. This race is tough as all hell. But if we know Costa, she'll put her mind to it and she'll probably do pretty well. But she'll go up against established champions in this race in itself. So it'd be very interesting to see how she does this. Or even if she likes this, because it's different training as well. It's not just like, I'm a track athlete. No, it's very, very different. But that'll be
her
next.
Is she allowed to compete in some and not in others?
So yeah. She's allowed to compete in the 3,000 meters.
She can compete in any event she wants, but certain events she has to take hormone treatment for because that's
how
the
rule. How does it affect one event and not another event?
Who knows?
Okay. But honestly, this is a can of worms you've been into.
And I'll
ask off air because that interests me. The rest of it doesn't really.
Listen to yesterday too. We had a doctor on who's an expert in this kind of thing. She's actually taken a look at the medical files that have now been released publicly, which is a deep invasion of privacy, by the way, of Costa Semenya, and she's got her own theories, and you might want to listen to that.
Dr. Robin Spring.
I shall check out Robin Spring and find out what the fuck with regard to some races and not others.
Ben, someone has a question for you.
Sure.
Someone says, what is your opinion on Supersport firing Robert Marawa 2 hours before his show went live? Did they try and avoid another Ashwin Willemse scenario? Do you know anything about this, Ben?
Gotta be honest, when these things happen nowadays, I don't actually really care. Well, look, there's a variety of things at play here, and I don't think we'll ever know the full story, ever, 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 because PR machines then take over.
Yeah.
Robert, of course, is he's like a legend of SA Sport, sure. But the guy's got a track record of being fired everywhere he's been, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that either makes him a champion for free speech. He says he was acting out against sexual misconduct in the workplace. Mm. Supersport obviously was saying how they want to get fresh faces, open up industry, blah, blah, blah. Insert your own hashtag there. There's always smoke in that place. And I'll say that. It's when you have that much control over what goes on in SA Sport, there are going to be a lot of dramas happening from time to time.
Well, now he's added something new, because earlier this week he did an interview saying the truth will one day come out, and he said last year he was in ICU because of what he had to do for the job. So he's really hamming this entire moment up.
Well, if there's anyone who can take it on, the guy's got an audience. He's probably got some decent resources behind him, but I haven't actually paid attention to the story the last 3 days.
What interests me about these situations where the sports guys get really upset and then there's like the super sport kind of universe of chaos is that you've got guys who have a background in doing one thing that is totally unrelated to broadcasting who are now working in broadcasting. And then you've got like presenters who are trained presenters. And then you've got Neil Andrews. But you've got mostly those two categories, and then there's also him. But like now, Lale Hirayama, who I've always thought is like one of the most beautiful women in the whole universe, she's also like incredibly knowledgeable about sport and whatever. She's a presenter that knows about sport, but she over presents. You know, it's like the body posturing, like it's almost like she was born a TV presenter and is like she was going to rule their army one day. But she's like, I'm thinking to myself, like, this is so much better than getting in some former, like, Springbok tight head prop or whatever and having him, like, bumble through his interviews. But I think part of the problem is that that you segue from something totally different.
It's a fine line because you've got, and I don't watch sports. I'm in no position to comment here, but I'm going to try anyway. Ben can smack me around if I'm wrong. So there's this fine line. You've got guys who've played the game who have some insights that you wouldn't get from someone who's never played the game.
Yes.
And you get people who are professional presenters, which is more or less what you're saying. And you also get this idea that now suddenly you need to have like women presenting sport that is played by men.
Just but because Lilla can, for sure.
Yeah, so we have women somewhere on the TV because otherwise, you know, we've forgotten they exist. Or God
and
knows
because
what
dudes like them.
Well, that's a different
Sky
story.
Sky Sports have been putting hot girls doing the sport forever, and it works.
We know what that is. We know what that is. Yeah. It's eye candy. But
it's just the business of TV, guys.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is it doesn't surprise me when there's freakouts when people are segueing into a completely different industry than the one that they come from.
Well, let's see what happens with Robert. I don't even know the story. I saw that it was happening on Twitter last week. There was some kind of noise around it, but we still don't know. As Ben says, we know
what the details are. We should get him in here. We should really get him in here. And if he doesn't take our interview, then it's a lost opportunity for him because no one else could be able to talk to him in the media like we can.
Yeah,
so
that's a very good point.
I think we should get him in. I mean, what's he doing? He's free on Thursdays, isn't he?
Absolutely. Let's see what he's up to.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I see there what you did.
Okay. All together.
And obviously the times would be completely out of sync and the whole joke doesn't really work if you get too deep into it.
But it worked for the 3 seconds it needed to, though.
We've got
Said
by Sia time. Let's go, Sia. What do you got for us this morning?
I was actually sent this story by one of our listeners because it's happening nochal right on our doorstep. This is a good news story from Pretoria. You know how, I don't know, the post office is still stuck in the year 1938?
Wow, I'm so glad you brought that up. Our post office across the road here has not had power for 2 months. The people just come in and they sit at the door. No, I'm not kidding you. They just, I mean, I know these guys at this
Can they not
office.
Get into the...
Is that a China Mall thing? Or?
No, they're inside.
Okay.
They get in, but they don't have power. I don't know if they haven't paid their electricity bills or if there's a problem when
And it's not a whole mall thing.
Yeah, the rest of the building's got power.
It's the individual post office thing.
So you can't... there's no point
it's
in me trying...
It's a built-up area.
I know. I can't go and kill... It's like Zimbabwe in that center.
It's so bizarre.
Weird, right? So go on.
And so when you do go to the post office to do something like renew your license, you still have to carry cash because heaven forbid you swipe a card there. Well, this is what a 65-year-old pensioner from Pretoria had to do. But because she was running errands around the mall, she had 1,300 rands in cash and also her important documents with her. And she was a bit preoccupied. She went to the post office. Something wasn't working there, so she couldn't renew her license. Nonetheless, she continued with her day, and as she was going back home, she was offloading things into her car. She forgot her documents and cash in the trolley. And drum roll, the savior of the day, the security guard at Mayville Mall, his name is Henry, was actually the one who came to her assistance. Henry found these documents and opened it up, and thankfully, because this pensioner's details, her name is Sandra Becker, were on these documents, Henry went out of his way to make a call to Sandra to say, "Hi there, you must be worried, but I have your documents and I have your cash as well." Sandra actually posted this up on Facebook. She says, "Lord knows the country needs some good news to hear right now." And this post has had thousands of shares by the time, just a couple of days ago, when I got this link. So this is really heartwarming to hear. It's her ID, it's her pictures, it's the documents as well. And 1,300 rands in total were sent back to Sandra Becker. All thanks to Henry, the security guard at Mayville Mall. I think this is absolutely awesome.
Yeah, it is legend. And there's even like a de facto law. Never mind, like, I mean, all the cool stuff, like, she's obviously, because he has her details, they can see she's elderly and it's a lot of cash, and so giving cash back. But like, cash is almost like the de facto thing. You don't quite, like, it's an ethical gray area with finding stuff. Like, if you find a wallet and it's got a wad of cash in it, like, you can return the wallet with the driver's license and the credit cards and be like, "Hey, I found your wallet." Like, no, finding cash on the floor.
I know people who've
done
that.
You see a person bugger off and you're pretty sure that was their 200 rand note. But, you know, if you ask them, say, "Hey, was this yours?" And they'll say yes, and maybe it wasn't. It's like, cash is even more non-returnable.
You just graceful things. That is a disgrace.
I would have returned the cash. I'm just saying, Henry.
Now we know what kind of a person you
that's
are.
That's like, it's like the crack cocaine of things to give back to people, but in the context of a rehab. This metaphor is going nowhere. But
no, well, neither is this argument.
Shout out to
Henry.
I'm
not saying it's okay. I'm just saying it's easier to not give back cash.
Shout out to Henry, and actually Sandra did give Henry some cash
of her rons.
Yeah, for what he actually did. So if you're around Pretoria, you know of Mayville Mall, you can just shout out Henry when you see him next. That's it said by Sia for this morning.
Thank you, Sia. All right, when we come back, finally, we can do all the discussion around Game of Thrones, spoilers, analysis, what the hell's going on.
What? God, are you having like a stroke?
I scratched my ear because it was like super itchy. It wasn't anything that
this
amazing.
This is why I have my own headphones, you see. This is what I was saying just earlier.
It was even the outer ear. It wasn't the inside bit. It was just removed the side of my headphone and lightly scratched my ear.
Broad is back.
Why even?
Everybody calm down.
Did it do anything?
CliffCentral.com on a Wednesday. Almost the end of May.
This is CliffCentral.com.